Hi, this is Michael Attia, colorist for Dark Horse Comics and DC Comics, and you're listening to We Be Geeks.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red Button standing by.
Red Fox standing by.
Big Red standing by.
Red October standing by.
Helen Reddy standing by.
Simply Red standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, back at the above ground underwater suborbital volcano lair.
You have Weeby Geeks, episode 36. I am Mike, your host. On the other side of the table, we've got...
I'm Eric, your other host.
And also joining us tonight for what will be a monthly series is... Weeby Geeks columnist and one-third of Crazy Random Happenstance, Mark.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Great to have you on. So, it is Wednesday, the 28th, and I noticed, Mark, you got to get your new new blog up, or your new, can't even talk right tonight, new
yeah,
post,
all right.
New post to your column.
Yeah, I went this time with a little old school. I say old school, it's a year old, but this time I did for those that don't read it, and you all should, by the way, it's brilliant if I do say it to myself. I first want to apologize to you guys. I'm trying desperately to get on a schedule. I think half of my problem with keeping a schedule of writing is I don't have a schedule of reading. So I'm trying really, really hard to make sure I read consistently so I can write consistently. And I actually haven't read anything in like 2 weeks. So I decided to go a little old school this week. I reread The Punisher Warzone that came out last year. Greg Rucka wrote an amazing 5-part series. And it's the tagline sells it. It's The Punisher versus the Avengers. It's 5 parts. Basically each part he's taken on a different Avenger as they're trying to bring him in, because Spider-Man convinces Captain America that, you know, Frank Castle has gone too far, and, you know, he's a murderer. He is at the core, good guys, bad guys don't matter. He's killing people and we need to do something about it. Great series. It piggybacks right off the end of Rucka's The Punisher run, which was only 16 issues. So if you got a couple bucks to spare, or an iTunes gift card, or any extra money, you're going to go buy the trade. I think it's only $8 for the all 16 issues through Comixology. So go read it. It's good.
Very cool.
Yeah, pretty much anything Rucka does is gold.
Right? And I've always been loosely into The Punisher. The Punisher is my buddy's favorite character, period. So I've always just kind of been around The Punisher. And I remember when I was a kid, the Punisher War Journals were always my favorite. And I always loved them because, you know, obviously it gets dark, it gets bloody, it gets gross. You know, when you're 12 years old, that's, you know, Spider-Man's cool and Spider-Man, you know, is sarcastic and Batman beats people up. But you don't see the blood. And that's the best part of Punisher.
Right.
Yeah. When I was 12, I was reading Sandman because I was a pretentious little kid.
Nice. By the way, I want to just going backwards real quick. I love the opening of your show. I every time it makes me laugh. Red Fox standing by is my favorite, my absolute favorite.
Yeah, it's there's one more I want to add to it, and I just haven't gotten to that point yet. We're in the process of getting some new opening and out and closing music. So I might be redoing the drops at that point, and there's one more I want to add to it.
So, where do you guys go for the music? Do you just find it, or is it samples, or is it your versions?
The music bed on these I found on a royalty free site.
Okay.
But the band I work with at Epcot, one of the guys is helping me out, or helping us out by coming up with something original.
Nice.
So, yeah, Mike does all the sound and the music stuff for the podcast. I mostly do the website.
Nice. Yeah, I made mine for CRH. I found some, I found, it's like, what, I just typed in like, create a theme song, and I found this royalty free loops thing.
Right.
That it took me like 3 hours to play with to find something that was worthwhile.
Yeah, that's the hard part is going through. It's like, okay, this is not the direction I want to go.
Right, this right, right.
This is closer, but way too heavy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like, and I have a very broad music style. Like, I think I have the most, I've tried to say I have the most random iPod of anybody I know. At any given moment, you could hear NSYNC, Billy Joel, Guns N' Roses back to back to back. I'm not proud of that, but the NSYNC part, at least. I won't, don't ever tell anybody that. No one actually hears this, right?
We don't actually put this on the internet. We just sort of give it to a couple of our friends.
It just goes on the internet and then it goes away, right? It's not like it's there forever.
Yeah, totally.
And then, yeah.
See,
so,
with me, I would have that same list and maybe add Girl from Ipanema on there.
We were just talking about that about, I want to say about a month ago. I had the song stuck in my head. I get this, I don't know what to call it. I call it a syndrome. It's random songatosis. Random things remind me of the most random thing, songs ever.
Yeah, I think I have that too.
And then they get stuck
like
in my
a little
head.
Bit.
I had Somewhere Over the Rainbow stuck in my head for about 2 weeks. But the newer version, the happy little version, not the Judy Garland version.
Well,
and it got to the point where like I had finally got it out of my head, and I walked into the office, and my staff was sitting there going, "If happy little bluebirds fly," and I'm like, "No, stop!"
Oh, you know what happened to me? I had this song stuck in my head last week when I went grocery shopping, and it's this terrible song from the '90s. It might be the early 2000s. It's I can't remember the name of it, but it or the band that does it. It's this terrible song. It's like the refrain is like the story of a girl who cried the river that drowned the whole world, and I hate that song.
This is the story of a girl.
Yeah, that one.
Who cried a river and drowned the whole world. Yeah, yeah.
Is that Smash Mouth?
Is it? I know it's like When She Smiles. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who it is or even what the title of the song is. I got it stuck in my head and I was like, oh my God, I want to blow my brains out because I hate this song. And then they played it over the PA in the grocery store.
Well, if you've listened to Mark's show a lot, you'll, they do a bit on their, favorite things.
And, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you guys make up your own, lyrics to the actual song.
Yeah, we do a parody of the Sound of Music. My favorite. Yeah, these are my favorite things. Yeah.
So I was
Joanna
working.
Actually sings that.
Okay.
We wrote it in about 30 seconds, and I made her sing it over a karaoke version.
I was working in Germany. God, it was probably my first time since the holidays, and they added this new bell. They play cowbells with the band in Germany, the polka band, and they added, these are my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things. And I recorded a small snippet of it and I sent it to Mark. And Mark's like, the response you gave back was classic.
Oh, it was awesome. It was like, it made my day. It was, I didn't know what sound it was. It sounded like almost like kettle drums. I couldn't understand. I couldn't, like, it was like, obviously, what did you do it off a phone or?
I did on my phone.
So I couldn't tell what the instruments were. It took me a second to listen. I was like, what am I listening to? Oh man, that's awesome. You guys don't curse on this show, right? You do a clean show?
We do a clean show.
Okay. Yeah.
Very
difficult for me. We have a running list of who uses the C word the most on my show. So yeah.
I'm going to come on your show just so I can top that list.
Anytime, dude. Anytime. I'm supposed to record tomorrow night. I may call you.
My girlfriend is Australian, so she uses that word as a comma.
It's like the British. They use it, you know, they just, everything's the C word.
It's kind of awesome because I get to call her that anytime I want. But if I ever break up with her and date an American girl again, I'm going to be in so much trouble.
You betcha.
Yeah. Because American women do not like that. They just, you know.
So, trying to get us back on track. You know,
oh, yeah.
10 minutes in, but, oh, no, that's fun, what makes it fun. Let's start off with the Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys see this announcement?
No, I haven't seen anything
from Nintendo. Nintendo announced just today they're releasing a new version of the 3DS called the 2DS.
Why would you go backwards in Ds?
I don't know, because it looks terrible. they're dropping the 3D functionality.
Was it really 3D though? Like when I saw 3DS, and from what everything told me about it, I was expecting, like, you know, the hologram like R2-D2 to come out and let me play in the game.
Do you have a 3DS?
No, I don't have any. But I have, like I said, I have two stepdaughters who both have various handheld games.
I mean, if they have one, you know, pick it up and check it out, because it does. It's sort of a stereoscopic 3D.
Okay.
Where if you look at it from the wrong angle, you can just see two images. Uh-huh. But if you look at it right, it does look three dimensional. It does create a depth.
All
right. So the 2DS, it's also they're dropping the clamshell design.
Okay.
So you know how the DS and the 3DS, you know, they fold up. They're dropping that. It's open. It's flat. And that makes it large and ugly.
So almost going back to the Game Boy feel.
Yeah, it's a budget solution is what it is. I believe they're going to continue selling, you know, the 3DS XL.
Well, I know.
And this is going to be, the 2DS is going to be $130.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's why they're doing it, is to drop the price so much. Because it only uses one screen.
Right.
It sounds like a lot, though. Like, Here's my thing about Nintendo in general is it's always more for kids. So with
this comes out on the same day as the new Pokemon games.
Which has been the main draw for the DS. You want to play Pokemon, you get the DS.
Yeah.
So, well, I know the other announcement from Nintendo.
We interrupted Mark there, though. I think he had a point.
Just step right in, Mark.
No, I didn't have anything to say. I'm good. I'm listening. All I was saying was I think that Nintendo's mostly for kids for me. If you ask me, I don't even have a Wii. I have an Xbox. I have a PlayStation, but yeah. I never had young kids, so I've never been a Nintendo person. Even when I was younger, I didn't have Nintendo.
Well, I did. I got the Nintendo Entertainment System when I was 8.
Really?
Yeah,
I was never cool.
I was not cool. I had a Nintendo Entertainment System when I was 8. I didn't leave my house. I got a Super
No,
Nintendo.
No, I wasn't. I had an Atari.
I had an Atari before I had the Nintendo. My parents had the Atari.
I went from Atari to PlayStation.
Oh, jeez. My dad worked at an electronics store when I was very young. And then he became an insurance salesman later. But when I was very young, you know, he worked at this electronics store. So he had – my parents had an Atari and, like, all these games. Did you have the Indiana Jones game for the Atari?
No.
I did, yeah.
There's the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I could never beat that. The only person in my house who could ever finish that game was my mother. It was crazy. I had Yor's Revenge was like the only game that I actually owned for the Atari.
I remember when it was such a big deal that Pac-Man was coming to Atari. Okay, I'm aging myself.
No, Pac-Man I had. And Mrs.
Yeah,
Pac-Man.
I had it too. They were terrible too.
Yeah,
it was vaguely Pac-Man.
The strobe screen. And the strobe background.
And it was like gray.
Yeah, it bounced between like gray, a light purple, light blue, and almost black.
Yeah, I had Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Adventure.
But it was such a big deal, and then when you got it, you're like, this looks nothing like what I play in the arcade. Nothing.
Yeah.
But that's like I said, I'm aging myself here, you know, considering what I just had my birthday back on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely feeling old. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mike. I meant to mention that, and then I forgot.
And I'm the old fart on the show.
Yeah, Mike's like 10 years older than me, so...
So, yeah, but I also remember, too, the whole E.T. game. You know, if you guys,
oh, my God. I had that. Did you have that?
Yeah. And you get to that one level, you know, that one section. If you fall in the hole, forget it. You're done. Restart the whole game. Start over from the beginning because you weren't getting out of that hole.
I don't think I ever finished that game. I don't think I ever even figured out what you were supposed to do in that game.
You were supposed to... gather the various pieces, build your speak and spell communicator, get your mothership, and get out. That was it.
I never figured. And weren't there like Reese's pieces or something?
Yeah, just, like, that was the other thing. Yeah, yeah. So
no, I didn't have ET. I had pole position, which yep. I still to this
I remember
day
pole
can't
position.
To this day, I can't play a racing car game. I suck at them. I generally just kind of suck at video games. I buy them because I like them. But then, like, I realized, like, I can't play in front of, I could definitely not play in front of the kids because I'm terrible. It took me, when I first got, the original Arkham Asylum, I played it because I don't have that much time either. So I played for like an hour or so a week. So it took me like a year to beat the game. And I didn't even get to beat it. I got stuck on the final Joker level, which I didn't realize was the last level. So I handed it to my stepdaughter's boyfriend, and he ended up beating the game for me. I didn't even realize it was the end, and I was so disappointed. A year, and that kid beat the game.
Well, for me, I have a Nintendo Wii, and when my wife was pregnant with our daughter, late night I get started. You know, I picked up Force Unleashed. And I was like, I got about halfway. I picked it up like a month before she was born. And I get about halfway through, and it got to the point. It's like, okay, since I was doing the nighttime feedings, I had to do something to stay awake before that first feeding in the evening, before I went to bed. So I'm like, all right, Force Unleashed, here we go. I got so disappointed when, after a month, I had to solve it. I'm like, what am I going to play now to keep me awake until the next feeding?
I'm, you know what kind of game I'm terrible at is 3D platformers.
Okay.
Because I have like no depth perception, so I miss like every jump. I won't play those in front of other people. cover shooters like Mass Effect and Uncharted, and fighting games I'm good at.
I'm okay with fighting games. I haven't gotten Injustice yet, but I want to.
I have it for the phone. Street Fighter for the iPhone.
Really?
Yeah.
They have the phone?
They have Injustice for the iPhone and the iPad. I haven't seen what the actual game looks like on the game system, but for the phone, you're a three-man team battling another three-man team.
Okay.
So if you suck, you
don't have to do all the heavy lifting?
Well, no.
Or is it like Marvel versus Capcom where you switch out?
Yeah, you switch out your characters, and if one gets defeated, then you're down to two. And the object is to defeat the other side before they defeat you.
Survivor Series style.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, if you go through the early battles quick, and all of a sudden you get stuck, then you realize, because each character you level the character as well.
Okay.
And you know, you start off with a basic special attack. Then after level 5, you get a second special attack. And then you gotta wait till your character hits level 20 before you get the ultimate special attack. And when you hit like level 17, it takes forever to hit level 20.
Yeah, see, that just seems like a lot of work.
It is.
Is it a thing with like in-app purchases where you can like pay like $3 to go straight to level 20?
Yeah, because I will totally look. I cheated my way through Candy Crush. I'm the first to admit it. But no, I will buy it. I'll just give me the level up.
There are in-app purchases that, you know, gives you more credit, so you could buy you know, higher level cards. Cause, I mean, you got bronze level, silver level, and gold level cards. But like Superman or even the Batmans, which are more gold level cards. I mean, they're, God, over 200,000 credits.
Jesus.
And it's like.
Just wait till Hearthstone comes out.
Yeah.
Where that's where all the money is going to be going from everyone, I think.
Right.
Because I've already spent like I think $200 on Magic Online, and that doesn't even have the fancy animations.
Jeez.
That's over the course of about a year, but still.
Wow. Other Nintendo news that came out today: they are dropping the price on the Wii U to $299.
Well.
And I think they're bundling it with Legend of Zelda. And it's going to be, you'll get a special Zelda gamepad and a few other things with it. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, I think it's a 32 gig unit for the $299.
I still don't want it.
I still don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I like my Wii. I mean, don't get me wrong, but everything I've seen with the Wii U not being backwards compatible and just a lot of the issues, yeah, I'm like you guys, I just don't want it.
I just don't have an interest in Nintendo. Maybe I should because I suck at video games so bad, but maybe I should just go for something easier, but I just don't have an interest in it.
I'll tell you, there are
a few games for the 3DS and the DS that are really awesome. There's Phoenix Wright and there's the Professor Layton games. They're amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, me being more of a sports guy on the Wii and you know, Star Wars buff, I know the Lego games are really good on the Wii, but Tiger Woods Golf or the PGA Golf from EA Games, oh man, I've played them on PS2, you know, I played them on the PS3. I played them on the PC. But yeah, I much prefer playing those on the Wii.
See, my other fear of the Wii is I would be that guy that would send the controller flying through the flat screen because I'm a giant klutz. I hit my head on everything.
I remember those stories. Tighten the strap.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's always when you don't realize to do things like that. The bad stuff happens. Yeah. See, I caught myself there.
Yeah, I did that last week too. I think I don't know if Mike heard it in editing. It was real. We were talking about something, and I was like, "Holy sh!"
Well, the nice thing is I am able to take care of it. So,
oh, that reminds me, Mike. Did we get any angry letters about our show last week?
Not that I've seen so far, except maybe this one. Hey, Weeby Geeks, you guys are a bunch of and y'all could just go to. Okay, maybe not.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Just
play Story of a Girl over and over again. That'll annoy him.
Yeah.
I just downloaded it while we were talking, by the way, because now it's stuck in my head.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. 99 cents you owe me.
Who's this? What band is it? Is it Smash Mouth?
No, it's 9 Days.
9 Days. I've never.
No, you've never heard of them. You've never heard of them because they don't have anything else.
Oh, jeez.
That's one of those things where you know there are other bands that have only had one hit song, like Fastball. Trouble. You remember Fastball?
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved Fastball. Their album was really good. But, you know their name. When that song that they did comes on, you're like, oh, hey, Fastball.
Or Chumbawamba.
Yeah, oh, Chumbawamba.
Yep.
Chumbawamba, like, just broke up, like, this year.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I read the story. It led to many cries of, Chumbawamba was still around?
And I'm upset I didn't see them in the last 10 years.
We're talking about, getting back to talking about songs stuck in your head. I work at Disney, audio engineer out there, and I was working with the band out of Morocco called Moroccan. and going home at night and be stuck with one of those tunes in your head. You know, you hear, Habibi, Habibi. I'm like, okay, no.
Wait, they're a Moroccan band called Moroccan?
They are called Mo-Rockin.
Oh. Is it like rockin', like R-O-C-K-I-N?
K-I-N, yep.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, that's terrible.
That's like you would sit on a cruise ship. They should yeah. just... Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's like the worst thing I've ever heard, really. That should be a war crime.
I would just think with your job in general, Mike, you would constantly be subjected to songs that get stuck in your head. Disney songs are catchy to begin with, and if you're just around them all day long, I would shoot myself.
Well, the thing is, I'm at Epcot, so it's total. See, being at Epcot, I don't get as much Disney music, but okay. You know, I mix the group British Revolution, so I've got all British music all day for five sets. So Billy Idol, Elton John, Queen. You know, many times I get stuck with Rebel Yell stuck in my head.
It's better than the Circle of Life.
Yeah,
true.
I wouldn't complain.
But you know, I just want more.
White Wedding is like one of my favorite songs of all time. I would play that every day if I were you.
That's the first half of the Billy Idol medley. They go White Wedding into Rebel Yell.
Wow. I wouldn't mind that. I would listen to White Wedding every day.
I would listen to Rebel Yell every day. So we're
yeah,
okay.
That one too.
I heard it the other day. I heard it. I'm a big XM 80s fan, so I have three channels. I pay for XM every month. I have three channels. I have Opie and Anthony, I have the 80s station, I have the 90s station. It's the only channels I listen to.
Well, the problem
I listen to NPR when I'm in the car.
The problem I run into is, you know, usually I listen to talk radio because I just don't want any music, you know, before going into work. Mm-hmm. So I'll either listen to talk radio, be it one of the politics, like lately it's been Herman Cain is on it at the time I'm on.
God.
Or I listen to sports, or we have a local talk radio.
Does Herman Cain, like, quote Pokemon, like, every day?
I have no clue.
Did you remember that from the Republican?
Yeah. Well, lately, I've been, since my car has an aux port, I've been listening to podcasts such as The Well Watchers, Crazy Random Happenstance, Rebel Force
That's
Radio.
Right.
So I get my fix. That's where I get caught up on my podcast.
I do. I listen to 95% podcasts in the car. I have like an hour and a half commute every day, each way. So
my car has a tape deck. So
you can get one of those things, dude, that just plugs into the tape cassette player and plug it into your phone.
I listen to NPR, and what I'm going to start doing is acting like listening to NPR, but acting like I'm listening to like Headbangers Ball on MTV. I'm like, yeah, Lynn Rosetta Casper, yeah. Tell him, Terry Gross.
Tea party forever.
Yeah, you're not going to catch
with the. I'm doing the rock fingers. You can't see it, but I'm doing the.
So was I.
And I'm over here burying my face in the mic, going, "Oh, jeez." So, before we hit the big news and then the actual juiciness of this episode,
In Sync.
Did y'all know that nearly half the comics shipped out there are variant covers?
I did know that because I added it to the show notes.
I knew it because I read the show notes.
I smell mutiny, and not just because I'm wearing a cologne called Mutiny.
Trying to transition here.
I would have been like, no, really? But Eric, you know, Eric started the ball rolling, so.
Yeah. I like to derail the show as much as possible.
Well, those are the random and crazy random happenstance is the prevalent word. So we move from subject to subject. But no, Mike, tell me about half of the comics shipped or variant covers. Like, does that mean half of the comics have variant covers or half of the comics are the said variant covers?
It's half of the comics are variant covers of other comics.
Wow.
Because, you know, a lot of them, not every
so
comic
they only
has
produce
a variant
half of the actual comics that are shipped.
Basically.
Yes.
It's you know, at the same time, it's not a strict, like, 50% of comics shipped, because, you know, a lot of them are 50 to 1 and 250 to 1 variants.
Right. Well, I
but
I
like
know.
50% of the diamond
six covers.
Yeah, 50% of the diamond solicitations basically are for variant covers.
Well, I know today I went to my local comic book shop, Coliseum Comics, here in Kissimmee, and I picked up Larfleeze number 3, and there were two different covers. There was the actual cover and then the black and white sketch cover. And then I looked at the Batman Incorporated special. There was like 3 or 4 covers for it. This month's Superman Unchained, there was like another 8 covers for it. And the normal cover.
Yeah, they've done like 6 or 8 covers for every issue of Superman Unchained. And we just got an email from Image today with, let me see if I can find it, because they say how many variant covers Walking Dead 115 is going to have, and I think I want to say 16.
Holy cow.
Like, do they expect people to buy each cover? Is that the deal?
The Walking Dead covers are interlocking covers.
So if you want the whole picture, you got to buy all 16?
Yep.
Let me
see. Collect them all. Pokemon.
It's, hey, we were just talking about Herman Cain.
See?
Oh, I'm
segue?
Dovetail. Ten individual connecting covers.
Wow. That's
absurd.
I know I wanted to get the Batman special today. They had like 2 of the Ethan Van Sciver covers, which has got Bat-Cow on the cover. And it's like, okay, normal comic, $3.99. This particular variant cover, they were wanting $8 for it.
What?
Like,
oh, that's nothing.
No.
The 250 to 1 variants go for $100-$200 on eBay.
Like, yeah. Immediately?
Yeah, day of release.
Day of release.
And that's
I could get
part of what inflates the numbers, the diamond numbers. Because retailers, you know, if you're a retailer and you're paying, you know, $2 an issue, let's say,
right,
for your comic wholesale, and if you buy 50, you get a variant cover that you can immediately turn around and sell for $100 on eBay.
Yep.
Wow.
That's your whole cost.
I remember with Superman Unchained, number 1. Of course, I got mine back when I was visiting family in Louisiana, where Victoria was living. And they only had the 1 cover. I get back here, and I see, you know, in my local shop, they've got, you know, 8 or 9 covers. I'm like, holy cow.
It's a pretty big shop there, isn't it?
Yeah, mine's pretty good size. And of course, you know, they're getting ready to open up another store in Lakeland. But they got like 4 or 5 stores in the area. Maybe 6 or 7 now. So,
yeah,
I mean, they're buying
sure
major
those,
bulk.
I'm pretty sure all those Superman books are like 1 in 25 variants. So if you order 25 copies, you can order 1 of the variant covers.
Well, I know the variant covers ranged anywhere from $7.99 to $19.99 day of release. I'm like, this is insane. It's absolutely crazy.
So going back to Eric's point, do you think they're doing that to keep the brick and mortars in business and happy? Or are they
I can't.
Because I'll be honest, I think when Mike and I first started talking, I said, I probably spend, realistically, when I catch up, I'm probably in the $150 a month range of buying comic books is what I spend about a month. And
yeah.
I haven't walked into a comic book store in probably 3 years. I do it all digital. I do it all online. I buy them all on my iPad because collector.
Yeah, do you buy them on Comixology or do you buy like physical books from like
Amazon? No, I buy them through Comixology. I do it all on the iPad.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a collector. Because I know, you know, for the most part, most of these books aren't worth anything. And I was sick of having long boxes and stacked up in the basement.
Yeah.
And if I you know, and then they get ruined, or, you know, I sit there and go, why am I staring at these boxes? I just had a garage sale last spring, and I couldn't get rid of them. I was selling them for like a quarter a piece, and I couldn't get rid of them.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, I have a shelf of graphic novels that I like, or compilation books that I like that I keep. And then everything else I just do through Comixology, because if I run out of space, I delete it, and then I can download it again anytime I want. I've already paid for it, and I never lose.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
And for me, I mean, there's a couple things like Star Wars Empire, Star Wars Rebellion. I've already got, well, Empire, I've almost got the entire series, so I want to complete that series. Any of the others, you know, Rebellion, I might want to go complete. Anything else, you know, if I want the physical copy, I'm going to get the omnibus from Dark Horse. Teen Titans on the other side, if it's the Perez era, yeah, I'm going to buy the actual physical. Anything from 80 to 84, 85, I'm picking it up. I will, but it's for me though. There's no chance I'm reselling any of it.
Right. And that's the difference. If I was collecting something, if I had a book I was going to get signed, you know, I would obviously would be different, but I'm not. Like, I don't collect anything. So I don't feel the need to have that physical thing. You know, I have a couple toys from when I was a kid that I just held on to. But other than that, you know, I don't collect anything. So
I'm the same way. I got rid of so much stuff in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I have a shelf. I have a shelf with all, like, I'm a diehard Bat guy. I bleed Batman. Batman and New York Giants football. That's my two. If it doesn't concern those two things, like,
you know, I have.
See, for an extra 50, you could, for an extra 50, you could wear the cow.
What were you saying, Aaron?
I have an OC Human Ura jersey.
Okay, well, he's not on the Giants anymore.
I know. It's a Giants jersey. I got it a couple of years ago.
You know why he's not on the team anymore? Because I bought his jersey last year. So
I got mine for free.
Okay. It's about what it's worth now.
Yeah, my mother's boss bought it, and it was too small for him, so he gave it to me.
Right, so I have a Tuck jersey now that I hold on to and pray.
The sad part is I got both of y'all beat. I have a Jeff Garcia. I have a Garcia Cleveland Browns jersey, being a Browns fan.
Wow.
There's nothing good being a Browns fan, buying a Browns jersey.
My brother-in-law's a Browns fan.
Mike, I'm from Pittsburgh. We can't be friends anymore.
Well, at least it's not Baltimore.
You know, I actually went to a Browns game when I was in college. It was a Browns-Steelers game with a friend of mine from Cleveland.
See, the rivalry is still there, but it's nothing like Baltimore. It's like, forget it. I mean, Baltimore, that was our team. They won the Super Bowl like a couple years after they moved from Cleveland. That was our Super Bowl.
Yeah, I found that hilarious. Cleveland's never gone to the Super Bowl. The Browns leave Cleveland, become the Ravens, and win the Super Bowl like 2 years later.
Yeah, when they played the Giants and Jason Sehorn's pants fell down. I remember.
Pain everywhere.
Pain. But I got two since then, so I'm all right.
So,
and against the Patriots, too, who
that's
I hate.
Right.
Right. You know, that first Giants-Patriots game, I broke up with my girlfriend like 2 hours before the game started.
Never speak to her again.
The Giants. Good luck. We got back together. This is the same girl I'm dating now.
Oh. I mean, marry her. She's great, obviously.
No, I told her that. She had no idea. She had no idea when the Super Bowl – she had no idea what the Super Bowl was.
Wow.
Jeez.
No, this house stops on Sunday. Even the girls, my wife is into it. I got a puppy, and I just bought her a Giants cheerleader outfit.
Jeez.
I haven't watched, I'm going to bring the show down. I haven't really watched that much football since my dad died a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
We used to watch every Sunday together, and it's been, you know,
Okay.
See? I love to derail the show. But no, like, I do, yeah, it was the same way. I would watch football every Sunday, and especially if someone was going to beat the Patriots.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Don't miss the second annual barbecue Twinkie cook-off!
But yeah, that's my story for that game, because that was the Patriots' undefeated season.
Right.
In the Super Bowl, they're undefeated. The Giants beat them. I love the Giants. I hate the Patriots.
18 wins, one Giant loss.
Yeah. And yeah, my girlfriend broke up with me like 2 hours before the game started. She hates it when I tell that story, too.
So
I'm gonna be hearing about it because she's on a juice fast and she's in a great mood.
What is a juice fast?
You like don't
you
eat any
juice?
Yeah, you don't eat anything. You just drink juice for a week.
That's terrible.
I know. I did it at one point too. I was like, after 3 days, I wanted to kill anyone who looked at me.
Speaking of killing, how about the internet uproar that went on last week with Ben
Insane.
Affleck?
I know, they didn't get enough time together. I'm sorry, go on.
Ben Affleck named Batman.
Are we going around the table? Because
let's hear your opinion first.
I am all for Batfleck. I said it immediately as soon as I heard the news. I know a lot of people flip-flopped after. First of all, I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, so I'm just going to say this quick. It seems to me, I think that no matter who they picked, half of the internet community would have gone nuts. The second thing is that a lot of people flip-flopped after Whedon and Adam West came out in support of Affleck, which you knew they were going to do because it's the right thing to do.
Right. Yeah. Well, even Kilmer came out and backed it up.
Yeah, well, because, you know, he was the ultimate Batman. And the other part of it is I have a problem with people who think that the only person who can ever be Batman is Christian Bale. Because to me, those people weren't Batman fans before Christian Bale.
I didn't even like Christian Bale that much.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay. He was okay. I think
Heath Ledger carried the second movie, and if it wasn't for him, that trilogy would have been ultimately forgettable.
Batman Begins was good, but I think a lot of Batman Begins, what made it as good as it was, is you had Scarecrow. I mean, it was a character that you had only seen in the cartoon.
Yeah.
And he was awesome. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But,
I mean, Heath Ledger carried the second film. I mean, that wasn't a Batman film. That was a Joker film.
Yeah, someone reposted an archived Reddit thread of the announcement of Heath Ledger playing the Joker. Did you guys see that?
Yeah,
I didn't
see
it. No.
Can you guess what the internet thought about Heath Ledger being cast as the Joker?
It was almost the same thing.
Yeah. He's going to be terrible. There's no way Heath Ledger can play the Joker.
And they were he was a good
gay cowboy, but he's not going to be able to play Joker.
Yeah. Yeah.
He died for that role. Heath Ledger died for that role.
Yeah.
He did. He did.
Too soon?
Yeah, he went crazy.
Is it too soon?
No, but no, it's never too soon. You could have said it the day after he died. I would have been fine with it.
Yeah. Especially, and the funnier it is, the sooner you can say it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I think the mistake with the original, with the Batman quadology was they didn't keep Tim Burton on for Batman Forever.
Really?
To me, I think that's what killed it. Schumacher, forget it.
I didn't think Batman Forever was that bad. I even hold the line that, you know, Batman and Robin is terrible, but I don't blame George Clooney for it. I don't think he was a terrible Batman. I just think the movie was. I don't think he had anything to work with.
It was
anything.
A horrible movie.
Yeah, you can be a good actor in a bad movie.
Yeah,
I mean Batman Forever. I mean it was good, but having seen what Burton wanted to do with it and just keep it focused on the Riddler, instead of Riddler and Two-Face, it would have been, I think, a much stronger film.
Sure, sure.
I'm getting bothered by the fact that in these movies with the solo superheroes, they always feel the need to cram in two and three villains.
Well, it's toys.
You mean
like... Well, yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, it drives me crazy with, you know, Spider-Man and Batman.
Well, it's like the next Spider-Man. There's going to be, what, up to four villains in it?
Yeah, I still hope, I'm holding out hope that it's primarily going to be Electro. And the Rhino's going to be a minor character from what I understand. And what other villains are in it, be it, you know, Norman Osborn or Black Cat or whatever.
Well, they're teasing the Sinister Six.
Yeah,
yeah, but they're not going to be in it. That was, they had that picture from the set. Of it. It was said Sinister Six. But that was, it wasn't, it that wasn't a part of the set. It was like the craft services room was room six and someone put Sinister over it.
That's funny.
Yep.
I think that with the things I've heard so far about Spider-Man are good. I mean, I'm glad they cut the whole Mary Jane angle out of it. I don't know if you guys covered this already, but I'm sure you have. But I'm glad that they
dropped the line, Eric.
Yeah. Oh no, no, that's not going to be my catchphrase.
Because
I'm a big Gwen Stacy fan.
Me too. And yeah. And I'm a bigger Emma Stone fan.
Oh yeah. Have you seen Easy A?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that movie great?
Yeah, I almost spit out my Mountain Dew when I said that. Yeah. Let me put that behind the laptop. Yeah.
I had never heard of her when that movie came out, but then I found out that I had seen her in a few things. I'd never heard of this movie. It came out on DVD, and Nick Spencer, the comic book writer of Morning Glory's Superior Foes of Spider-Man, recommended it on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, I'll check it out. I'm like, this is a great movie. How did I miss this?
It really is. It really is a good movie. And I like all those. I like all those tween, teeny, chick flick type movies. I love them all.
So do I.
So, and then
I think Heathers is like my all time favorite movie.
Yeah, yes.
You take Heathers, I'll take Pump Up the Volume.
Really?
I'll take them both. I mean, they were both incredible.
I will still watch The Breakfast Club at any given moment. I have a thing. There's very few movies I'll watch on TV, but I remember even as a kid, like, there was Channel 11 up here. I don't know what it is by you, but PIX, or now it became the WB. But it was Channel 11, and they just had the rotation of 80s movies. So right. It was always Breakfast Club, and then Pretty in Pink, and Ferris Bueller, and, you know, name your next cliche 80s movie.
Same.
And I'm the only one in this
dancing.
Group. I'm probably the only one in this group who actually saw these movies in the theater.
You would be correct.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 80s.
I saw Masters of the Universe in the theater.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was
like six.
I was born in 80, so.
Yeah, you're only a year older than me.
Yeah, so I don't remember these movies in theaters, but I remember them being, you know, every month or two you would get like The Breakfast Club on Saturday morning on Channel 11. Yeah,
I remember going out to see Breakfast Club, Dirty Dancing. What else was there? Better Off Dead, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller, 16 Candles, all of that. I mean, all of the
John
Hughes stuff.
The guy who directed Better Off Dead drew the whammies on Press Your Luck.
Yes, and
really?
So,
yeah,
and it's so obvious
the
with the cartoon.
Piece of random trivia.
He also did Eek the Cat. If you remember that show.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was probably, how about Terrible Thunder Lizards, which was probably the more famous half of that.
Yes, yes.
It was on Fox, like, after school.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
like, probably early 90s.
So,
all right.
So Mark's in favor of...
Yeah.
Mark's in favor of Affleck.
I am very much in favor of Batfleck. I don't care what anybody says. I think he, and not to mention, I think it would be awesome that, you know, he would be the first person on screen to be both Batman and Superman because he was in Hollywoodland. So
yeah, well, yeah. He didn't technically play Superman.
No, but he had the costume.
He played
the
guy
costume
playing.
On.
Yeah, he had the costume on.
I
that was another thing people were saying on the internet was like, oh, I saw him in that stupid you know, costume in Hollywood. Like, he was playing, you know, a character playing Superman in the 50s. Shut up.
Yeah, but if you've seen that movie, he's got the acting chops to do the role.
Yeah, he's good in it.
He's a brilliant actor.
Yeah, even in terrible Affleck movies like Reindeer Games, he's good in it.
Yeah.
See, my hopes with it is, who's Affleck's extremely good friend? Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
I was going to say Smith. Matt Damon as Robin.
No. Oh, God, no.
That was the internet joke for the first 3 days.
Yeah.
My thought, you know, Affleck's really tight with Smith, or Smith's really tight with Affleck. That might lead to Smith possibly writing a Batman movie.
It won't, because Warner Brothers is terrible.
No, it'll never happen. Scott Snyder's going to control this thing for the foreseeable future.
If it was Marvel, then yeah, Kevin Smith might be writing on the movie. But DC's... Warner's not going to take that kind of chance that Marvel did.
I know we're going to talk fantasy casting in a little bit, but Kevin, I did my own little fantasy cast for the Batman solo movie, and I had Kevin Smith playing Bullock, because I just thought he would be awesome Bullock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin Smith's a pretty good actor. If you
Oh, yeah. He's a great director, too. I mean, I think with his love of Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. There's no one better to put writing or directing.
I don't think you would want to.
Let me tell you my how I got introduced to Kevin Smith story. My friend in high school, my best friend, had seen Clerks and was bugging me for months to watch Clerks. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to watch some stupid hockey movie. What are you talking about? That was my perception of Clerks from the clips that they were playing on, like, MTV and stuff at the time.
Right.
All they were showing was Hockey on the Roof. I watched Clerks, and it changed my life. Well, not really. It just made me laugh. You know, the thing about the Affleck, the Matt Damon Robin thing, he was in that Liberace movie on HBO. He played a 17-year-old in it.
Yeah.
That guy was 17. He was 17? I saw parts of it, but I didn't realize the character
was
17.
He was 17.
How good he can be in Young Avengers.
Yeah, he could be.
I thought Damon, after seeing Elysium, I thought Damon would make a good Luther.
Maybe.
I had a couple other choices for Luther.
Well, the
I mean, everything is coming out saying, oh, it's going to be Bryan Cranston.
Yeah,
still
unconfirmed.
Nothing's confirmed. And
don't want Bryan Cranston.
And now the latest rumor is, they're waiting till after Breaking Bad is over before they make the announcement.
Yeah, my guess
make Cranston
is,
Gordon.
Yeah, that was my guess. That was my pick.
My guess is that it's probably not going to be Cranston, because the Latino Review said it was going to be Cranston, and they've just been wrong about everything lately.
There's
I guess Christian Bale turned down that $50 million they offered him to be in this movie.
Yeah, that he was confirmed to be in.
Yeah.
I think for...
That was completely bogus.
I think for Luther, go either Billy Zane, or you go Arnold Vosloo.
Wait, Billy Zane from Titanic?
Mm-hmm. Or The Phantom.
Okay.
Because he was the Phantom when
was?
They did. Yeah, he was in the Phantom. He was the Phantom in the movie.
I want. I like the idea of having the chubbier Luther. I want Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That'd be good.
I think he's a brilliant actor. He plays dark really well.
Yeah.
And I like my Luther not at all looking like a physical challenge for Superman. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like I don't...
Like a doughy Lex Luthor.
Yeah, yeah, no. He's got to be a guy who must rely on his brain. You know what I mean?
See,
what would be great
he
is
outsmart
if,
him.
That's part of the reason why I chose Arnold Vosloo for that.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Arnold Vosloo was Imhotep in The Mummy. I want to say he was also... Zartan and G.I. Joe.
I didn't watch watch that.
Oh, let me. I've got his. I got his filmography here.
I'm Googling it.
Now that Mark said Philip Seymour Hoffman, I want to see him do Luther as Truman Capote.
He was Zartan in G.I. Joe Retaliation and in the first one. He was a Mossad officer, Ahmet Hodder in NCIS. He's done quite a bit of voices in the DC animated. Where was it? He was in Chuck for 3 episodes.
So he's like a character actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That might be an interesting choice because I think every Luther in films and what, there's probably only been 2, right? They've gone with big names.
Mm-hmm. With Hackman and
Kevin Spacey.
He was also an agent, Cody Banks.
We could get Frankie Muniz as kind of like a supervillain now.
True.
It's funny you mentioned Frankie Muniz because he will come up later.
Ah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, that's my
tease. Have you gotten a look at that dude lately?
Yeah, he looks normal. Looks like a normal 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, but he's 35.
No, he's not, actually.
No, I'm just
I IMDb'd my entire selection to make sure they were like under 30.
Okay.
Someone has suggested, I think Kevin Smith actually suggested Bruce Willis for Luther.
Really? No. As much as he hates Willis?
Yeah. He said, he goes, you got to think about like the guy who he can play charming, but you know he's a ruthless bastard.
I could see that.
I don't think he could do it, though. I don't think he would be. I don't think he would look, as much as everybody knows that Bruce Willis at this point is just a douche. I don't think he would put him in himself in a position that he would be outshined by an Affleck, because he would be.
I think we're just picking people now who have shaved their head. I think that's how the rumor mill is working. Everyone who looks good with a shaved head is like up for.
Then what's her name from Star Trek the Motion Picture? Cast her as
V'ger.
V'ger.
I am V'ger.
Frankie Muniz was born in 85, so that would make him, if I'm 32, that would make him, what, 28, 27?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he still looks like he's like 18.
Yeah, he's like a race car driver now, though. He doesn't act.
Yeah.
So, why don't we go ahead then and head into... The casting couch. I mean, wait a minute. The cattle call.
Yeah, Mike, you're going to get us in trouble if you keep saying casting couch.
No. I kind of like that better.
Yeah, but I'm just going to pick Kristen Stewart for everything if there's that possibility.
Kristen Stewart? Really? Of all the females out there under 20 to 30, Kristen Stewart?
Everyone gives me a hard time about this. I think I like her. She's attractive and she's a great actress.
It's hard enough to figure out girls. You want one that you can that has the same expression for everything?
I like dark. And she's... Have you seen Adventureland?
No, I haven't.
She's really good in that. That's what I say. People give her crap. And, you know, see Adventureland. It's a really good movie, and she's good in it.
Is it on demand, or is it on Netflix?
Probably.
Because I will watch it tomorrow, and I will get back to you.
It came out, like, 5 years ago, I think.
Okay.
That'd be like saying Miley Cyrus is still a wholesome girl.
Oh my God! Don't even get started on the Miley Cyrus thing.
I have no idea. I don't follow pop culture news. I keep hearing about like Miley Cyrus did something, but I don't know what it was because I just don't care.
I mean,
you didn't see her masturbate with the foam finger?
No.
No, I've heard a comparison that it's no worse than what Madonna's done on the show. It's no worse than Christina or Britney. And I'll disagree. She took it to new levels that I think even Lady Gaga said, huh? I mean, she outdid.
I've seen those posts.
The Woman in Shock.
I've seen those posts, and I respond with this. Madonna had the talent to back it up. Gaga has the, look, love or hate Lady Gaga, she graduated from Juilliard. She's got the musical chops to back it up. to back it up. And the difference between them is there's a substance after. Okay, you get the shock. And look, Howard Stern made his living as a shock jock. But after the shock, you got to give some people a reason to stick around. And yeah, that's the difference. Madonna gave people a reason to stick. You can't compare careers. You know, even look at Britney. Britney's done. No one cares. Britney lasted one season on The X Factor, and all she did was prove to the world how absolutely stupid she is.
To me, Christina is the better of the two, talent wise. I mean, still,
again, never watched Christina's that got, show.
Christina can sing.
Yeah.
Well, Christina
Aguilera can sing. You know, and she never. And when Christina Aguilera was young and coming up, she didn't do the shock stuff. You know. Britney.
Wasn't she a Mouseketeer?
They were all Mouseketeers.
They both were.
Okay.
I mean, Timberlake was a Mouseketeer.
Yeah, I knew that.
I mean, Christina Aguilera, that whole Dirty album, I mean, that was complete shock. And then, some of the stuff she's done where, you know, she's kind of got the Betty Page type feel to it. I mean, it's on the risque side, but I mean, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I mean, she could back it up. Britney, I'm sorry, I don't think she could back up what she, you know, naughty schoolgirl and all that. And Miley Cyrus is heading that same direction.
Miley Cyrus to me was always just sort of a creepy incest vibe.
I saw a tweet somewhere that said somewhere during the performance. I saw a tweet that said somewhere right now Mickey Mouse is grabbing a shotgun, and that was my favorite tweet of the night.
No, my favorite tweet of the night, and I don't remember the actual tweet, came from Billy Ray Cyrus. And then an hour later, he deleted it.
What was it about how sexy she was?
No, it was pretty much about how appalled he was at the whole thing.
Maybe Billy Ray Cyrus should listen to some of Billy Ray Cyrus's music and realize why no one cares what he thinks.
That's why he was part of the creation of Hannah Montana. It's because no one cared about his music.
Yeah, that like I said, that when that was around, that's all I saw. They did photo shoots together. There was this kind of creepy, they're doing it, aren't they, kind of thing going on.
Hey, leave my home state out of this. Just because they're from Kentucky.
It wasn't that they were from Kentucky. It was that they were very provocatively posed together.
Hey, you know what they say?
In a way that made me feel uncomfortable.
They might have West Virginia roots, because you know what they say. Your family tree in West Virginia goes straight up. So anyhow, like we were talking earlier, this is going to be a monthly deal where the three of us are going to sit down together and do a casting call or the
casting couch. I really like casting couch.
Depending on the movie, it might be casting couch.
We need a theme song. We need to get a theme song.
That will be something I'll work on. Yeah, I will take suggestions from the floor. So feel free to send. And
yeah, that'll work. People who listen to the show do not want to follow us on Twitter, I don't think. I think I've gotten, since I've been on the show for like 3 months now, I've gotten like 2 Twitter followers because I'm on this show.
I've gotten quite a, I mean, the actual Weeby Geeks one.
I'm going to name check this person who is following me on Twitter. Her name is, let me see if I can find it. Kaylee Grundy is like the only fan that I have on Twitter, I think.
Well, you got McKeever. You got Sean.
Sean doesn't follow me on Twitter.
Really?
I have a guy from 7 Days of Geek, who follows me, the Angry Oz Geek.
Okay.
And I've got Mark and Algin follow me. Right. Sean doesn't follow me. Kai Budd follows me.
You need to tweet more. You don't tweet a whole lot.
Twitter hasn't worked for me since I upgraded iOS.
Really?
Just wait till September 10th.
Like Yeah, I'll tweet more once iOS 7 comes out, because what happens is I go to Twitter and it goes to like the last time I logged in, which will be like 3 days ago, and it'll show me those tweets. And you know how there's like the little divider that says more? Right. That's not there anymore. So I have tweets from 3 days ago and then the last half hour or so. The last like 10 tweets. And that's all I can see. And I have to like log back out and log back in.
Right. Wow.
So that's, have you tried using a different app? Like,
I don't know. This is the official Twitter app.
Try TweetDeck.
Yeah, I just switched to Hootsuite. And that one's really good. And especially you use that on like a PC, because I set up the you can do the schedule tweets on it. So I don't know if you've noticed my tweet output has dramatically increased, because you can just schedule tweets for the next, you know, month, and you could save templates and just keep setting them to tweet out at future times. So it'll tweet all day for me. And then, you know, obviously I just kind of chime in when I feel the need to actually say something. But for promotional stuff, I just started, I started it last week, and not great. I don't have a whole lot of Twitter followers either, but it almost doubled over like a weekend just by tweeting more.
Maybe that's because I got retweeted by Jim Steranko, and that was like the highlight of my life, I think.
Nice. I got retweeted by Greg Capullo the other day, and I almost had to sit down.
I've been retweeted.
Oddly
a couple
enough,
times
we were talking about
Tara
Miley
Strong.
Cyrus. Nice. She follows Steranko. You, right?
Dude.
Mike, did I see that Tara Strong follows you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, she didn't follow, but she's retweeted some of the stuff I've tweeted to her.
Nice.
I have, oddly enough, the former Prime Minister of Australia follows me.
I think there's an inside connection there.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, getting back on track.
Yes.
We're going to do one of us is going to pick a movie. Pick a movie we would like to see. And we're going to cast it. And since this idea originated with Mark, he picked the first one, which is
Young Avengers.
Now, being a DC guy, I freaked. I'm like, what the? So out came the research.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of research myself, and I'll be honest, I didn't know much about the Young Avengers until Eric started talking to me about the female Hawkeye. And I was like, ooh, I have to dig into this.
Oh, yeah, the new Hawkeye series is amazing. It's not just about Kate Bishop, though. It's got Clint Barton in it, too. They call him Hawk Guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how she refers to him in the Hawkeye comic.
Nice.
Okay. So where do we want to begin?
Okay, well, there's a bunch of different incarnations of the Young Avengers, and right. I've kind of gone, you know, I sent you guys the list of who I thought should be in the movie. I kind of went through a list of both old and new Young Avengers. So should we give out who we're going to cast first, or should we just dive right in and go around the table?
We can just dive right in, I think.
Let's just dive right in. Start with the first character.
The first one I picked was Iron Lad. You could go one of two ways. If you want to keep it true to the movies, you could have this like set in the not too distant future, and it could be the kid from Iron Man 3. Or my pick was Frankie Muniz.
Frankie Muniz, really?
Yeah, I think the return of Frankie Muniz, because I went back and I started looking at like pictures of Iron Lad outside the costume, and he doesn't look anything like the kid from Iron Man 3. So I went with Frankie Muniz. I think, you know, he's young, he's popular, or was popular for a time. You know, he could piggyback off that whole Bryan Cranston success. And
yeah,
I think he could be Iron Lad. He's the type of guy, you know, and he's got some, you know, some Spy Kids, you know, cred behind him for a little action.
Now, I've got a little spoiler here. You said you weren't that familiar with Young Avengers. Do you know who Iron Lad is?
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit.
Little bit, Mike.
I'm the one who, yeah. Marvel
yes.
is very, yeah. The only thing I know about Iron Lad is from the Marvel War of Heroes iPhone game. Yeah.
He kind of looks like a young Tony Stark, but, and here's the spoiler for anyone who hasn't read Young Avengers yet. It's Kang, the Conqueror.
Right. He's the adolescent version of Kang who came back in time because he didn't want to grow up to become Kang.
Yeah, it's Nathaniel Richards is his name.
Which is why, see, I had this whole movie plot in my head, which is why I didn't pick Kang as the villain. Because yeah.
What's your movie plot?
So here's my movie plot, right? Young Nathaniel Richards wakes up in a room and he has very little memory of anything. Almost Jason Bourne style. He wakes up and he's got a flash drive and a note with an address. And he goes to that address, and in that room is just computers. So think of like a Stark Labs type area.
Okay.
So he goes into this area with his flash drive, and he plugs the flash drive in, and it boots up the Vision. And the Vision, obviously, you know, for those of you that don't know, the Iron Lad's armor is a lot has to do with the Vision. There's like 9 different, you know, histories behind it. But in my story, yeah. It boots up the Vision, and this is how you can get the Vision into the DC into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Vision has helped him come back in time, even though he doesn't have any memory from the time travel. And the Vision, using the technology that's in this room, A, gives him the Iron Lad suit, and B, gives him the list of Young Avengers, because the Vision had a protocol, and this is in the comics for those who don't know. The Vision had a protocol to ensure the Avengers would always exist. So this movie, you find out, takes place in the not-too-distant future, after the Avengers are gone, and the Vision protocol has rebooted. And knowing, since it's a futuristic Vision, it knows now at this point in time, these heroes are out there and need to be brought together to basically reassemble a Young Avengers team.
Yeah, which is basically how Young Avengers happened, because it was on the tail end of Avengers Disassembled.
Right. So this is where I've gone in it, and which is also why I didn't pick Kree as the villain, because I thought that, you know, with this storyline, you know, Iron Lad not knowing necessarily who he is or what the deal is, I thought maybe you could start to get some memories, and that would be a great, you know, post-credit scene is Kree in the future. Kang in the future.
Yeah.
You know, either making plans or coming back in time to get himself. Because there was a big storyline where Kang, you know, tries to get his younger self to see, the light, which is the dark light, obviously, and become the bad guy that he needs to be. Because the story of Iron Lad is that Kang showed him all of what he was to become in an effort to motivate him, and it backfires. So instead, young Richard decides to go and become a good guy. And I get in the future, in my story, he meets the Vision, and the Vision helps him go back in time. But when he goes back in time, he doesn't remember anything.
Okay.
So I had Frankie Muniz for the Iron Lad. And the bonus of having Frankie Muniz as the Iron Lad is 3/4 of the movie, he'd be in the suit. You wouldn't see him anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mike, who you got?
I went with Jackson Rathbone. He was in Last Airbender.
Okay.
And then that's where I remember seeing him, and that's where I won. You know, after looking at, you know, some of the sketches of him out of the costume and whatnot, he was kind of the one that kind of had that draw look wise for me. And then I come find out, okay, choosing Jackson Rathbone kind of violates the motto of the show. everything but chick flicks and Twilight. Apparently, he was in all the Twilight movies.
What always surprised me is he's got such a unique name. His last name's Rathbone, but he's not related to Basil Rathbone. He's not even British.
No.
How can you be an American and have a last name Rathbone? That's like almost as British as Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
He was in all Twilight movies.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Is that the rule? No Twilight?
I don't know. I picked Kristen Stewart to be Ms. Marvel.
Our ongoing joke is we talk everything, you know, we're being a geek site, geek show, we talk everything but chick flicks and Twilight.
Okay.
Which led to, did you get those new promos that we cut down?
Not yet.
Okay. That comes up in one of our promos. We'll have it in a couple weeks.
Nice.
So
make sure you get that to me.
I'll get you all three.
Nice.
So, Eric, who did you go with Iron Lad?
I went with Logan Lerman from Percy Jackson movies.
Okay.
And that was mainly because I had everyone but Iron Lad, and we were going on in like 10 minutes, and I was like, crap! I asked one of my friends, and she's like, how about this guy? I was like, okay. But no, he looks the part, and he's a good actor.
Yeah. He's a little younger, though, no?
Yeah. He's 21.
Okay, that's not that bad. He looks a lot younger.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So where do we go next?
All right, so let's go to...
Sorry about that, Mark.
No, it's cool, man. So Eric really wanted Wiccan,
Yeah.
So who's your pick for Wiccan?
I picked Field Kate, who anyone who watches Pushing Daisies might know as Young Ned. And he's the youngest one. He's actually 16 years old.
Okay.
He looks a lot like Wiccan. Like, he really looks at he's like a kind of a small mopish maybe kind of guy. And that's what Wiccan is. And yeah, Mark when Mark had his list, he didn't have Wiccan on it, and I was like, you can't really do Young Avengers without the relationship between Wiccan and Hulkling. It's kind of like the core.
Yeah. I realized that after.
Yeah.
And again, so I wanted to apologize because I didn't realize there was a no Twilight rule. I picked Taylor Lautner.
No,
really.
Like I said,
it's not a rule.
It's a joke. Yeah, it's like the motto of the show: everything but chick flicks and Twilight. And of course, you know, who did I pick first? Jason Rathbone or Jackson Rathbone? So I mean,
seems a little too buff for me, actually.
But that was my point. Wiccan originally was the Asgardian, so I figured he needed to be like almost to me Thor-like. You know, he had to be.
Well, he needed to be pretty buff.
Did
you see him as the Asgardian though?
Yeah, he was still kind of scrawny, but
yeah, he was a scrawny little dude. And did you read why Kate told him to change his name?
Yes.
That was like the best
for the obvious puns. Yes.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to be the ass guardian.
Yes.
Yep.
But also, maybe out of, you know, for all the guys that hate Twilight, you know, because he is in a relationship with another man, so maybe everyone would go see Taylor Lautner in gay scenes. You know, it worked. It worked for Heath Ledger. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to see that movie, Brokeback Mountain, and then I found out it was set in the 1980s.
Was it?
I was like, yeah.
It seems like it was so long ago.
I
didn't see it, but just from watching.
Yeah, the scenes. They're like on a cattle drive.
Yeah.
I'm like, why isn't this set? If this was set in the 1890s, I'd see it.
But so, 80s? It's common practice.
It's the 1980s. Just move to Fire Island and shut up.
Right.
Okay, so who do you got for Wiccan, Mike?
I have Noah Ringer from, again, Last Airbender, but also Cowboys and Aliens.
Okay.
To me, he it, it, It was the look.
He's also 16 years old. I just Googled him. Yeah, he's like a scrawny little dude.
Yeah, but he's, to me,
maybe
it seemed
like
perfect.
Maybe like fiery more than scrawny, I guess.
To me, it just seemed perfect. He was the, have you seen Last Airbender?
No.
Did you see any trailers or anything for Last Airbender?
Yes.
He was the Airbender.
He was the Airbender. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Not bad. So if we're on the Wiccan, so who do you have for Hulkling?
Mike, you want to go first?
I got Greg Finley.
Who's Greg Finley?
I think his character was Jack on Secret Life of the American Teenager. And I only bring it up because to me, he kind of had the build. I only know the show because my wife, she used to watch it all the time. But to me, you know, he's a taller guy. He's got muscle bulk to him. Anything additional could be CG'd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think he's
a Skrull, so. I went with Evan Peters from American Horror Story.
Why Evan Peters?
I think he looks it. I mean, he's got that kind of blonde, shaggy hair. He's a tall guy.
Yeah. Okay. I went a completely different route, and I went with Jack Gleason, who plays Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I've heard he's a really nice guy.
I'm sure he is. I mean, you kind of have to be if you're the most hated character on television, which
yeah.
is quite possible he plays. But I just thought he is actually 21. I looked it up because I was like, if I'm going to have this guy make out with Taylor Lautner, he can't be that big of a difference in age. Yeah. And I thought – so I looked it up and I thought he was like 13 or something. And I was shocked to find out he was actually 21. Because he also plays so young on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then
Joffrey's like 15.
Yeah, maybe. So, and then I thought after looking at him, like he looks the part. He's got the blonde kind of shaggy hair. And then I thought the difference in his stature versus, you know, when he hulks up would just be awesome CG wise.
Yeah, he would be a good choice, but I'm pretty sure he said he's gonna retire from acting.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I think it might be because people like throw stuff at him when he walks down the street.
I know I haven't read any of the Game of Thrones books. I purposely stay away from them now because I'm so into the show.
Yeah.
But I was on a cruise with my wife and actually my co-host from my show, and somehow it's a long story and off topic, but I got suckered into doing. They do this thing on Carnival boats where, you know, during karaoke they pick people to be in a show at the end of the cruise, and somehow I got picked to be Garth Brooks because I was the only one drunk enough to get up there and sing "Friends in Low Places," and. So I'm sitting in the back, and they didn't have one of the characters or one of the performers that they had. They didn't have anyone to do it, so they pulled one of the guys out of the band, and he was in the middle of reading the books, and he spoiled a lot of what happens for me. So,
what was he talking about? The Red Wedding?
No, you know what? He didn't mention the Red Wedding, but I was mentioning about how much I hate Joffrey, and he started telling me things that I wish I didn't know.
Oh,
so,
what's going to be on next season?
Yeah, basically, he just like, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but
yeah.
I don't think it's a secret. You know, I don't think you really you know the way the show goes, and
yeah.
You know, he basically just said, "Hey, don't worry, Joffrey gets his eventually," and it's like, don't tell me any more. Shut up.
Yeah, that was my girlfriend said I was talking to her the other day. She's like, I want to watch Game of Thrones. I'm like, yes, we will watch Game of Thrones together.
Yes.
Don't read anything about Game of Thrones.
No.
And she's like, but I want to read about it. I'm like, no, don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, do not read about it before you watch it.
It's like watching Walking Dead, which season 1 and 2, forget. Season 3, I enjoyed. But I wrote the comics first, and I'm like, really? You had to go ruin it?
Well, it departs from the comics, I think.
Do they not? I don't watch Walking Dead at all. So
I haven't watched it yet. I watched the first four episodes.
Did they not stay through the comics?
No. No. I mean, there's some variation.
It was done intentionally so people who read the comics could, you know, enjoy it and still have surprises.
We had talked about this on our show a couple weeks ago. I think when you do something like that, like when you do a television show based off of a popular book or a popular series of comics or whatever the source material is, you have to make a choice right at the beginning. And you either stay absolutely faithful or you say, look, we're going to set this in the world, but it's really not going to have a whole lot to do with these books. But those people who like the books will like this. And you have, like everything I've heard about, I haven't read the Game of Thrones books, but everyone has told me they've stayed relatively true to the book. And I'm not into The Walking Dead. I'm probably the one guy in the world who's not into the whole zombie revolution and into the whole zombies and vampires. They just don't do it for me. Everyone else is into zombies and vampires. I could care less about zombies. I don't do scary, period.
Well, I really like Dark Shadows, so.
It's all right. Vampires suck anyway.
Ba-dum-bum. All right, so let's go back to...
Yeah, Mike, that was bad.
I was just trying to wing it.
How old are you, Mike? Because you do have some dad puns. You do.
Yeah.
You do.
I'm 43.
Okay. So you're you're too young for that, man.
Yeah.
I grew up with it.
Being in the entertainment industry,
yeah, you sometimes you have to roll with it.
When you go to a restaurant and the waitress says, you know, hi, I'm Tiffany, I'll be your waitress. Do you say, hi, I'm Mike, I'll be your customer?
No.
Okay. I was just checking.
No. No, but I will pull the stunt that if it's bad service and and there's attitude with it, yeah, I'll break out a roll of pennies, dump it into a full glass of water and turn the glass upside down on the table.
That's a pretty dick move, dude.
That is terrible.
You're supposed to actually, according to Emily Post, what you're supposed to do is complain to the manager. Rather than not give a tip or leave the 25-cent tip.
No, I'll leave, again, 50 cents, but usually I'll leave a little bit more, but the coinage is all under a full...
It's the full glass of water turned upside down, dude.
Yep.
That's awful and evil.
That's...
But it's brilliant.
It is. How do you turn the water upside down without spilling the water all over the place?
You put a plate
on it? How do you not get the water on you?
What we would do is we put a couple napkins under it.
Oh, so you put the napkins on top first, then turn the whole thing over?
Turn the whole thing over and then slide out the napkins. And then just let it, just let it sit there.
We'll bleep it.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself. That was like Joker evil.
Yeah. Just mark that.
I already marked it.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, in high school, we would go to the rival high school and flip the vice principal's car on its roof, take the principal's car and set it and put it inside the lobby.
I've never understood how you do that. Were the doors big enough to fit a car through?
No, the center post. Yeah, the doors are wide enough.
They have like double doors or something.
Yeah, they were double doors.
I don't think there were any doors in my high school, even though we did have double doors. I don't think there were any that were big enough to get a car through.
All you do is there's four bolts or four screws.
You took the doors off.
No, we took the center support, the center door jamb to the double doors out, rolled the car in, put the door jamb back in.
Wow.
Oh my God. Did you have the, We wouldn't have been able to do that when I was in high school. They watched us far too well. We would not have enough time.
Well, we would do this in the middle of class change.
Still, you could see the from the administrative office in my high school. You could see the front doors and the back doors of the back of the lunchroom.
Right.
Which would have been the only ones that were big enough.
No, we never did anything cool like that.
Yeah.
I would. Okay. So let's go back.
Hawkeye.
I'm still contemplating. All right. Hawkeye. I've got Emma Watson.
Ooh, Emma Watson.
Yeah, I think like there's a I can't remember the name of the movie. They just saw a trailer of her looking pretty badass, but I would love to see her really kick some ass.
Yeah.
Like really, really tough Emma Watson. I love Emma Watson. Like Emma, it's like Emma Stone, and then like maybe it's an Emma thing. I don't know. Emma Stone and Emma Watson, maybe one, maybe A B. I don't know.
I went with Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Who's that?
She was Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim, and she was Bruce Willis's daughter in the last Die Hard movie.
Okay.
I went the obvious route. I went Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm gonna tell you, I have a note here that says to make a joke about Jennifer Lawrence under Hawkeye.
I wanted to stay away from it. I wanted to go Jennifer. She was gonna be my default. I couldn't think of anybody else.
Yeah, she doesn't want to get typecast as person with bow.
Plus, she's already Mystique.
Yeah, that's true.
Never stopped Halle Berry from being, quote unquote, Catwoman and Storm.
Right, but we're in the same. We're all in the Marvel universe here.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris Evans.
Well, they're kind of Chris separate. Yeah, I was gonna say Fox and Marvel.
But those movies were terrible.
With the Fantastic Four ones or the Catwoman ones?
Oh, God.
Yes,
well, all of them. Yeah, yes. All three of them. The only thing that could have been worse if somehow Catwoman was Halle Berry's Catwoman was hanging on the Silver Surfer board. That would be the only thing that made it worse.
That first Fantastic Four movie was so bad that my dad like actively blocked it from his memory because we watched it together. We watched it together. And then, like, a year later, I went into the living room, and he's watching it on, like FX or something, and he's like, how come we never watched this together? I was like, we did. He's like, no, I don't remember, though. I'm like, we watched it. We definitely watched it, and it was bad.
Stan Lee said it was the second worst superhero movie.
Yeah.
Well, it was the first one.
Daredevil. He said he hated what they. He said they destroyed Daredevil, and he hated
he
what
not,
they did with Doctor.
It wasn't even close to what he wrote.
What?
Did he not see Elektra?
Probably not.
I just saw Elektra for the first time, not yesterday, the day before. It was on like Stars or something. And I remember just saying like, I didn't think it was terrible, but I couldn't get past her duck face. She makes like this duck face, like when she's contemplating it. I don't know other way to describe it. It's a duck face. It's a duck face. And it was just strange for me. It took me out of the movie. I don't know what the movie was about. I was just staring at the duck face.
That's okay. People who weren't staring at the duck face don't know what the movie was about.
Well, when we had Sean McKeever on, he wrote the comic book adaptation about that. If you heard our podcast with him, he mentioned it on the air that he said he wrote the script for the adaptation in 2 days. And I said, well, that's longer than they took on the screenplay. And he started laughing. I could tell, it was one of those things where he wanted to say something, but he's smart enough not to, unlike me.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Yeah. Okay, so who do you have for Miss America?
Miss America. Mike, why don't you go first?
I went Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey?
She's the, I think, the UFC women's champ.
Oh, so you went with, like, real tough champ.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So this is about wrestlers and, like, fighters in movies. I don't know. Quentin Jackson was okay in A-Team, but I don't know.
I think she could pull it off. I really do.
Okay.
And you say that, you're going to hate my choice for Skrull.
Okay.
I went... You go first.
I went with Naya Rivera from Glee.
Okay.
I just she's smoking hot, and I think she has to be. She's Hispanic, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
So I just think she could do it.
Yeah, I went with Seychelle Gabriel, who was in The Last Airbender, actually. And on Falling Skies. And
okay.
She's, you know, been in a character actor. And for the same reason, because she's just so hot.
Okay. Just,
and that's what that's... I haven't read the newer Young Avengers. And I she was the one I had to look up, was Miss America. And I was like, oh, so she's Hispanic and really hot. Okay.
That was my criteria.
Yeah.
That was exactly my criteria.
My other choice was Razia. God, I can't pronounce her first name. She
was Reza Aslan?
No, it's like Francia Razia. She was on Secret Life. She was the Hispanic girl. She was the second one to get knocked up on the show.
God, why did everyone get knocked up on that show? Well,
because that was the whole purpose. So. Yeah. It's Francia.
Okay, I see. Francia Razia Elementarez, which apparently she doesn't use. Wow. Jeez.
Wait,
she played a teenager? Francia. R-A-I-S-A.
I
believe it's Francia Riza.
Yeah. Hi. Are you on Google Images? Because that first picture in the red dress?
No, I would pay Wikipedia, to see her anything. But yeah, it's the same picture in the red dress is on Wikipedia.
It's got like that, it's almost like a J-Lo at the MTV Awards dress, but it's red. And yeah. All right, and she's got a pearl necklace, so good for that.
Oh, my.
So do I need to mark that one, too?
No.
There was something, she's wearing a pearl necklace. It, like, in the picture, she's wearing a pearl necklace. There was nothing dirty about that at all.
Okay, folks.
Until I heard it.
No, and with me being in entertainment, we know where my mind's at. And, of course, it's... It's now 12:36 in the morning on the 29th.
So, yeah. Hi. All right. What do you have first for the Super Scroll?
Well, don't we still have Patriot and Vision to go?
Oh, yeah. Shoot. Yeah. All right, Patriot. I picked Michael B. Jordan. He was in The Wire. He was just in Fruitvale Station. Great actor. And I love The Wire, so... If I could figure out a way just to put all of them back in one movie, I would. But Michael B. Jordan is my pick for The Wire, for Patriot.
I went Cinque Walls. He's in Teen Wolf. He was also in Secret Life. But he was... Oh, what was the other show he was in? But he's done some other cameo stuff. And to me, looking at him, he had the look of the Patriot based on the sketches I was seeing.
All right.
Yeah, I went with Sterling Suleiman and his tiny, tiny nipples. I don't know if you know who he is. He's kind of a character actor. He's been in a lot of stuff, but not for many episodes except for All My Children. But he's been in, you know, Vampire Diaries, stuff like that. He's really buff guy. He looks like a patriot. But he has the tiniest nipples I've ever seen, I swear to God.
Wait, so you wanted him to mark an actual pearl necklace, but tiny nipples is okay?
I didn't say to mark it. Yeah, there's a picture of him on IMDb with his shirt open, and it's like he doesn't even have nipples.
Tiny nipples isn't necessarily a gutter veer.
Okay.
Whereas pearl necklace, well, Never mind.
Well, I don't know if we said the
now
to-do
it's
list.
Been said three times, so good luck editing.
It's a necklace made of pearls.
It is a literal pearl.
Yeah.
not a figurative or imaginary. It is a literal pearl necklace. I know the actual definition of literal, even if Google does not.
Yeah, literal doesn't mean figurative.
Right. Unless you're Google, in which case they have added the definition of literal to mean an exaggeration of literal.
Yeah, I saw that. Didn't I complain about that on the show like 2 weeks ago?
I think so.
I know I ranted about that.
Well, I guess it's all language. So if you just use a word differently, eventually that's just what the word means, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Especially this day and age.
At some point, someone had to say what each word meant. So why can't we change that?
This is true.
Yeah, but if literal means literal and it also means not literal, why is it even a word?
That's exactly right. Thank you. So
there's no point to it.
Okay. So who do you have as the Vision now that we know it won't be Vin Diesel?
Well, Vin Diesel could still do Vision for Avengers if they wanted to. See, what I was reading is Vision was actually a second generation.
Okay.
I went Michael Rosenbaum.
You always pick Michael Rosenbaum, though.
Well, Michael Rosenbaum could play anything.
Yeah. I think Mike has, like, the hots for Michael Rosenbaum.
I think he's a good actor, despite what others have said about me agreeing that he could be a good fit for Luther.
I think he was the best pure actor on Smallville.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was awesome in that fraternity movie when he dressed up like a girl. That was awesome.
Was it Sorority Girls?
So was it Sorority? Yeah, I said the fraternity movie, Sorority Girls, right? Yeah. And he does a few DC voices, doesn't he? Wasn't he the voice of the Flash for a while?
I want to say he's the voice of the Flash on Flashpoint. Unlimited.
Is he the voice? Is he the Flash's voice on Flashpoint?
I don't know.
He doesn't sound like him.
He was on Justice League Unlimited and Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually went with a black actor. I went with Tyrese. Because, you know, the Vision's like red anyway, so it doesn't really matter what color you put the actor is. He was Tyrese is he's in Fast and Furious. He's the black guy in Fast and Furious. Sarcastic one.
Okay. And he only Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah. He's another dude. He's buff. He's big. He's good with he obviously can do the action stuff. He's done Fast and Furious.
Justin Chambers is the voice of the Flash in Flashpoint Paradox.
Sorry about that.
So back to Tyrese.
So that was my pick, was Tyrese. Who did you pick?
I picked also Logan Lerman. Because, you know, as you know, if you read the story, Iron Lad sort of becomes the Vision.
Right.
So that's how I saw it. It was the same actor playing Iron Lad in the Vision.
Okay, that works. All right. So
two roles, one paycheck.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Back to the Future 2. I'm gonna start off my Super Skrull.
Yeah.
I picked someone who I also in my Frankie Muniz vein of someone who needs a comeback and who could also be a badass evil villain.
But Lou Ferrigno?
Someone a little older. I went not as old as Lou Ferrigno. I went with Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, huh?
I went with Mel Gibson. He was Martin Riggs, man. He can be badass, and
doubting that.
And he can obviously be evil. I mean, you know, he's an anti-Semite, but
yeah, just being Mel Gibson kind of makes him evil. We talked about this last week. You know, as much of a jerk as he is, Braveheart's still a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's one of my all-time favorite movies of all time. And I just think, you know, and it would be a good way to ease him back in because he would be full of makeup, you know, very much in the vein of, darn it, I can't think of, you know, I'm having 12:30 in the morning brain farts here. but who is Green Goblin from the first Spider-Man?
Willem Dafoe.
William Dafoe. Yeah. He's a great actor. You put him in all the makeup. You wouldn't actually have to see his face, but he could be in the movie and let people rely on his acting chops and his pure evilness to get him through. And we could bring back Mel Gibson.
That could happen. I'm curious why you chose Super Skrull.
Because I didn't want to go with
Kang.
And yeah. I wanted a villain who could put the Avengers to the test. I think, remember my little story here, I almost ripped off the actual Avengers movie, but you know, I figured the Super Skrull would have an army of Skrulls who could, who would the Avengers would, you would give them someone, a group of people to fight.
Yeah, the reason I found that interesting, and I don't know if you got my email about this or not, is that, he's the Super Skrull character is at Fox.
No, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, I had emailed you about it. It must have just got lost in the shuffle. I was like, do you want to stick with him or what? Because yeah, he's at the Skrulls themselves, Marvel and Fox can both use. But the actual character, Kullert the Super Skrull, is at Fox specifically.
Is there a list like
I don't know, but Whedon mentioned that one specifically.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they asked him about the Kree and the Skrull for Avengers, and he said, you know, we can use the Kree and the Skrulls in our movies. We didn't want to use the Kree or the Skrulls for this role. He's like, other than the Super Skrull, we can use the Skrulls.
Okay. Interesting. So who do you have for Kullert?
I went with Michael Rooker, even though he's Yondu.
Okay.
I just think he'd be good at it. And, you know, it's probably almost the same part that he's going to be playing, only with the Fantastic Four's powers.
Okay.
It's got to be mostly CG, I think.
Right.
Yeah, probably. So, Mike, who do you have?
I went with either Ryan Reeves or Shane Hernandez. And they're both wrestlers.
I don't know who either of them are.
Ryan Reeves is Ryback.
Oh, okay.
And Shane Hernandez is Supermax himself, Hernandez from TNA.
I've heard that name before. Did he like used to wrestle in WCW or something?
I don't think he did. I want to say possibly Ring of Honor.
Ryback I know. Even get through a WWE promo.
No, I don't know where I would know that name. Because I never watched Ring of Honor or TNA or
me either.
I used to watch WCW and that was a thing.
Well, Ryback's a newer gen guy. Hernandez has been around for a while. Mexico circuit, Texas circuit, and then came into TNA.
What would you think about, Dwayne Johnson as the Super Skrull? He's got the chin for it.
He's got the chin,
I keep talking about him for Luke Cage. They just keep bringing it up over and over again.
It's almost like you want action star, you go The Rock. And I don't know. I think he's slowly becoming overkill.
Yeah.
I just think
Bruce Campbell's got the chin too.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Well, he's like the chinniest guy.
So basically you want an action star Jay Leno is what you want.
Yeah.
Someone
with a crazy
chin.
Like Bruce Campbell or Nathan Fillion.
You need him to have like an anime chin, and anything else can be CGI'd.
Well, Nathan Fillion has that jaw.
Yeah,
that like, says I should be playing Superman. Because it's like
he is Captain Hammer.
Yeah, exactly. When they drew Superman in the animated series, he had that real square chin, and that's like almost exactly what Fillion's face looks like.
Yeah.
It's like when you say square-jawed, that's the first person that comes to mind for me. Am I still on?
I hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I lost both of you there for a second.
Oh, okay. I was saying, when you say square-jawed, Fillion is the guy who comes to mind for me right off the top.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, he wouldn't have been a bad pick for Batman.
No. That's I had thought that. I think Superman more than Batman though.
Yeah, I could see it. So that's our cast. That's our cast for Young Avengers.
Avengers, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Let's get them to make this movie.
We should. We're gonna.
Are you out there, Marvel? Tweet.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, did none of us had the same person for anything, did we?
No.
I had Jennifer Lawrence in parentheses for Hawkeye, though.
I think we both did. I think we all did.
Yeah.
You see girl with bow and arrow, you just naturally think Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
The only other option is who's the one who has the bow in the Percy Jackson film?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell.
It's not too bad.
There's a few movies that, like, it's just one of those ones that I don't get to watch a lot of movies. You know, I've said this, I think, three times already. I've got a wife and two stepdaughters, and they're not necessarily into the same movies I am. So, you know, I do a lot of, even my TV shows, I end up DVRing everything. And then, you know, I start watching TV at like 11 o'clock after everyone else has gone to bed. Sunday nights are the absolute worst for me.
Okay.
Because there's so much TV on Sunday nights. I was just talking to someone about this, a friend of mine yesterday. Sunday nights are awful. If you've got Breaking Bad, you've got, you know, Game of Thrones when it's on. When it's not on, you've got Newsroom, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. Anything Sorkin.
I love Newsroom.
Just
yeah.
You've got Ray Donovan. You've got Dexter. You've got, now my new favorite, I put it in the Geekend binge a couple weeks ago, is Cutthroat Kitchen.
The one with Alton Brown.
Yeah, and my new guilty pleasure, which I need, and I defend myself with this, because after all that heavy TV, you need a palate cleanser, and that's Total Divas. I absolutely love Total Divas.
I'm not sure what that is.
It's a reality show on E! Following, five or six divas from WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Five of the.
Is the really tall blonde one with the really long legs on there?
No, Stacey Keibler. She dropped out years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, she just started wrestling George Clooney instead.
they broke up.
I think I did hear that.
They broke up like 4 or 5 months ago. Now she's on someone new.
If you're George Clooney, you know, you have the luxury of getting tired of having sex with Stacey Keibler.
Yeah, you know. it's not a bad life to have.
No, it's not.
So Total Divas is, you know, you've got four, I think it's five of the WWE Divas. And it's two up and, it's actually, I think it's more than that now, because they've got the Bella Twins, who are like, you know, the hotties that everybody hates.
Right.
And then there's Natalia. The Dactyls. Yeah, there's Natalia, who is, you know, the daughter of royalty. You know, she's a heart. And then you've got the Funkadactyls, who are just full of sass, and I can never tell if they actually hate each other or not. They pretend like they love each other, but then this past week they basically got into a fist fight.
This girl who's a heart, I don't mean to interrupt you. Is she Bret Hart's sister?
She's
or
Bret Hart's niece.
Niece.
She's the daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Natty. And she's probably the best wrestler out of all of them, just because she's a heart.
Well,
but,
she's a heart. You know, I met Owen Hart once.
Did you?
Yeah, it was at like a house show when I was like a kid. I have his autograph and everything. He's really super nice.
I'm sure he is.
Out of everyone that was there, there were like, you know, it was a full bill, 2 hours, probably 20, 30 people. The only people that came out to talk to the fans were Owen Hart and George the Animal Steel.
Nice. He was
the promoter at the time. He didn't wrestle.
WrestleMania was in Boston. I want to say I was a senior in high school. It's the year Shawn Michaels dropped the belt to Austin.
Okay.
They did this whole thing at like Town Square in Boston where they had it's a public event. They had a ring set up. That's when DX had that guy with him that did all the impressions of all the other wrestlers. And the one guy came out with a big fake nose pretending to be Owen Hart. And I didn't meet Owen, but, I just remember there was this guy standing behind me who in the thickest Boston accent just kept yelling, "Owen Hart's my dad! Owen Hart's my dad!" And it just over and over and over again. And I just wanted to reach around and punch him in his face, but I couldn't stop laughing because you get that. And I love the Boston accent just in general. Like I would just move to Boston. It's my favorite city.
It's full of assholes.
So anyway, so going back to Total Divas, and then you've got the two rookies, the girl who wants to be the star, and you know that she got caught lying about the fact that she can dance, and she even though she can't, and the other girl who just there's really nothing about her yet. She hasn't done anything except that her boyfriend thinks he's like Mr. Tough Guy and wants to beat up all the wrestlers.
Okay. That's going to go wrong real quick.
Right? I think it was like the first episode. Like, he's like, she got into an argument with one of the wrestlers, and he was like, "I'll kick his ass." Like, and all the other girls swarmed around. I'm like, "You can't do that. Like, don't understand. You'll die."
Yeah.
It's not the place, like, a wrestler's locker room. Like, call it fake wrestling all you want. Dude, these dudes are jacked, and they're, like, here's my opinion on wrestling. Like, I don't think it's obviously. I know it's not real. It's a drama.
It's scripted. Yeah,
it's absolutely scripted. But the performers are athletes. There's no way what they do is not athletic.
Just because it's fake because it's scripted doesn't mean that those muscles aren't fake.
Right, and I mean,
they're spending the gym isn't fake.
Brock Lesnar, he did go on to be the UFC heavyweight champion.
Well,
so,
look at when Sheamus is in the ring and they do all the chest slaps. He welts up.
Oh yeah, have you seen Ric Flair with that? Like every time his chest is bright red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sheamus
kind of tough to jump off of a fucking 15-foot ladder and land square on your back. You just have to be like a special kind of tough, and I don't know if I'd ever want to fight that guy.
No.
I will tell you, I've got pictures with me and with Shane Hernandez and with Chavo and Luke Gowan. And,
Chavo, I know.
Chavo Guerrero. And I'll tell you.
WCW.
Yes. I will tell you. Yeah, there's no way I would ever want to be on their bad side.
What I always found funny, since we're talking about wrestlers, I'll get into this. You know who Dolph Ziggler is? Because I
don't. Yeah.
He used to date one of my favorite stand-up comics, Amy Schumer. Have you heard of her?
Uh-uh.
This is a show on Comedy Central, Inside Amy Schumer.
Yeah, I love Amy Schumer.
Yeah, have you heard the bit that she does where she's obviously talking about Dolph Ziggler when she walked in on him masturbating?
No.
Yeah, she's like, because like it was like when she was dating him, she would say in her act, she would say my boyfriend, and after they broke up, she started saying my ex-boyfriend. So it's clearly this is who she's talking about. But she's like, I walked in on him, and he's like, "Are you mad?" I was like, "No. But it kind of looks like you are." So that's like anytime. That's all I can think of when I hear his name or see him.
That's hysterical.
Wow. So.
See, I just railed the show again.
Yes, you did.
That's my hidden talent.
2, 4, 9, 5
Oh, see, I had my own soundtrack for Eric.
This is the story of a girl.
And I'll stop that for you.
Let's get rocking.
Now we're gonna have to pay an ASCAP fee.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that probably falls under fair use.
Yeah, anything over 10 years older that no one cares about.
Yeah.
Wait, I think if that song came out tomorrow, no one would care about it.
If you have to Google search the lyrics to find the band's name, you shouldn't have to pay to use their song.
Yeah. That is the most airplay they've gotten outside of grocery stores.
It's a trap!
Oh, God. All right, now we're getting punch drunk. It's 1:07 a.m.
Yeah.
Although in the middle my internet went out, so when you edit this all together, it'll be a time jump because we said it was 1 a.m. and then everything.
Yeah.
Well, so go on.
I didn't wake up until like 4.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, that's be nice.
Lucky you.
Yeah, well, I'm a writer.
is that like the writer's life? You just sleep till whenever?
My sleep schedule shifts like over time. So like sometimes I'm up at like a normal human time. And then other times I like go to bed at 6 in the morning and wake up at 4. But actually the reason that I was up so late wasn't because I was doing actual work. It's because I was playing Final Fantasy 14.
Are they up to 14 now?
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my geek cred by saying I've never played a Final Fantasy game.
Really?
I don't think you're going to lose your card.
Yeah, I remember Final Fantasy VII coming out when I was like a senior in high school. When I was a senior in high school, I worked at a best job ever. I worked at Babbage's, which was then bought out by EB, which is then bought out by GameStop. But
I
the best part
Babbage's.
Of yeah, the best part of working at Babbage's was they wanted you to be able to sell the games, so we could sign them out for 48 hours.
That's awesome.
And we would just bring them back and re-shrink wrap them and sell them like they were new. And but you could do it like. And if you didn't have a manager who was up your butt, you could just keep doing it. So I would just sign, like, I remember when, like, GoldenEye came out, I would just sign it out over and over and over and over. And if anyone didn't want it, I would just use their name. I would just hold on to it for, like, another couple days. And if you didn't bring it back in 48 hours, no one noticed because, you know, there were so many games being signed out.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah, I've played I had Final Fantasy for the NES.
Okay.
Like, that's how far I go back with role-playing games. I had Dragon Warrior 1 through 4. And I had Final Fantasy. I even had one of those Ultima games that were... They were terrible on the Nintendo.
Wow.
Like, I don't know if you played... I think it was Ultima Exodus.
God. I don't remember which Ultima I even played. It was that far back.
I was always just like trying, because you could attack Lord British.
Yeah.
And he would kill you, and that's like all the enjoyment I got out of that game. I was like, wait, this guy's like the main guy. He's giving you the quest. I could just like attack him? That's awesome. But the game itself, I didn't even care about. It was bad. The Final Fantasy, I've had every Final Fantasy. Except
I've never
for
played one of
except
them.
For 11. Which was the last. 11 was an MMO, and 14 is an MMO.
Okay.
I've never played any of them.
Wow. Some of them are better than others. Like Final Fantasy VI, which was Final Fantasy III, is probably the best.
Wait, Final Fantasy VI was Final Fantasy III?
Yeah, they released Final Fantasy in the US for the Nintendo, right? Then they did not release Final Fantasy 2 or 3.
Gotcha.
So when they released Final Fantasy 4 over here, they called it Final Fantasy 2. Then they skipped 5, and they released 6 as Final Fantasy 3.
Gotcha. Then, so is Final Fantasy 14 actually like Final Fantasy 27?
No. When Final Fantasy 7 came out and they brought it over for the PlayStation, they called it Final Fantasy 7.
Gotcha.
There was never a 4, 5, or 6 in the U.S. until they went back and republished them all under their original names years later.
Oh. All right.
It will test your head and your mind and your brain.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So, I think that's going to wrap up the show.
Yeah.
It was a good show. It was a good show.
It was a fun show.
Solid. Solid show.
It was a fun show.
Thank you very much.
So, tell the listeners again, Mark, where they can find you.
You can find me at on Twitter at CRHMARC, or you can go to, well, that's, you know, just me. If you want to hear my podcast, Crazy Random Happenstance, go to CRHpodcast.com.
And Eric.
You can find me at NecroFamicom on Twitter. And that's pretty much it. Just the regular website for us, which Mike will give you.
You can find me on Twitter at WeebieGeeks. The site is WeebieGeeks, W-E-B-E, Geeks, PC.com. On Facebook, / WeebieGeeks, PC. And when you go to the site, click on the Amazon link, bookmark it afterwards. Anything you buy through Amazon helps the show, and it's no additional cost to you guys.
Yes, and we'll give you recommendations on what to buy on Amazon every week, too.
True. And then feel free to email us at weebiegeekspc@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We don't bite. Well, Mark might. I'm not sure.
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get
all my shots in just in case I do.
And if you listened to last week's show and you still hate us and want to tell us that you hate us, go ahead. Because I was expecting to get at least some heat from that. And nothing.
Well, I since you brought it up, I've caught up on the last two episodes of Heroes of Cosplay.
Yeah.
Because this week's took place here in Orlando with MegaCon. But when they were at, was it Emerald City? You know, they're all sitting there telling Chloe, who is the podcast host.
Chloe Dykstra?
Yes, of Just Cause.
That's Hardwick's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They turned around, and it was one of the things we talked about with our issues. They literally flat out said, you know, if you're a 300-pound man wearing a Superman costume, you should have the decency to know that you shouldn't be wearing that costume.
Yeah,
I know we touched on that briefly, you know, by saying, you know, I'm all for everyone's self-esteem, but I mean, in reality, there's some people who, yeah, you wear the outfit, but modify it so it doesn't allow certain things.
See, if I wore a Superman costume, being the big fat guy that I am, I would wear one so it, like, rode up and you could see my stomach underneath it. Like, I look like I tried to put on Superman's costume and it was all stretched out.
I'm not exactly little, but I'm not exactly huge either. And I do the Clark Kent thing. Suit up, open a shirt, t-shirt, good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it killed me to hear. I mean, it's one thing if we say it on the show, because we're not the ambassador to cosplay, but to hear Yaya Han say it, it's like, really? And yet
she comes across as snotty on that show, like very snooty.
And it's like, You're the one who looks like you've had plastic surgery.
She came across just as snooty at Otakon in 1999, so that's nothing new since she became, like, I guess, internet famous.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
she's always seemed like that.
Well, I thought,
I think she's the one who was dating or married to this, like, huge muscle guy.
They've shown her husband, he's not that muscular.
It must be a different guy. like than the one that she used to date, because I know that's who I'm thinking of.
It's either a boyfriend
she dated
or...
this guy who was like he looked like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, not this guy. This guy's a standard person. Doesn't look like he works out. Well, he might work out to stay fit, but he's not a he's not a musclehead.
He's not like the bodybuilder type.
No, but to hear her bash another cosplayer and in relation to someone who was supposedly her intern, which killed me too. Yeah. That a cosplayer had an intern.
Yeah. Was Skydart Chloe Dykstra? Was that her intern?
No. Her intern was Mandy.
I don't know.
Or Molly, something like that.
Anytime Chloe Dykstra comes up, I just got to go. Yeah, good for Chris Hardwick, because she's like half his age, and that is. And you know, my girlfriend's like 9 years younger than me.
Well,
I went older.
Huh?
I go older. My wife's 7 years older.
Really?
Than me. Yeah. I've always had a thing for older women. When we were in high school, we used to call them VFRs, voted for Reagan. This is before anyone, before the cougar term was coined. I always kind of like VFR. It sounds a little less like, derogatory.
Yeah.
Hey, I voted for Reagan.
Look at the smallpox inoculation on her.
That woman looks like she knows how to use a typewriter. Can I ask you a question, though, since we're talking Heroes of Cosplay real quick?
Sure.
The one from MegaCon. Do you think that girl with the Rocketeer outfit deserved to win third place? Because I totally do not. I think if she wasn't part of the show, she would not have won. I thought that Dr. Doom costume was way more awesome than that freaking the Rocketeer outfit.
To be honest with you, knowing two of the panelists on the show, two of the judges, yeah, being on the show, I don't think had anything to do with it.
Okay.
It's because there were some other costumes that I thought were better as well that didn't get picked. And of course, they're not showing you everything that went up on stage either. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's stuff like that is kind of harried at conventions. They have to do a lot of stuff in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So sometimes things kind of slip through the cracks like that.
Well, with MegaCon, they actually ask, as you see on the show, they actually ask you how long did it take? Because a lot of people, this is the only convention they do.
Yeah.
And I know there was one guy who did the Aquaman outfit from Injustice. With the trident and the broad shoulder armors and whatnot. And the suit was amazing. And he didn't place.
I was like the guys who go as Space Marines.
Yeah, I don't even think there was a Space Marine the whole weekend. I was watching it to see if I was able to see myself in the background of any shot. When they're out on the floor.
Interviewing George Perez.
No, that was done actually before show opened.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, some of the other
people... We're going to have to get him back on, because Ken was the co-host when he did that, and I want to meet George Perez.
I've got 6 books autographed by him. but, yeah, it was just so odd seeing, here's the ambassador, one, bashing cosplayers, and then bashing someone for, the direction they went, and the person she, the person she bashed is, the one who won the lollipop cheerleading, chainsaw cheerleading contest. Mm. So, and she refused to do the show for a lot of things.
Lollipop Chainsaw, wasn't that written by what's his name? Gunn? James Gunn?
I think so.
Yeah, who's doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. But, yeah, and then the funny bit about this whole karma, you know, talking about karma, the show's being sued by like three or four different photographers for copyright infringement.
What, for using the pictures of the cosplayers that they took?
Yep. Without getting releases.
Now, it's the photographers and not the cosplayers.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Okay. And NBC / Sci-Fi is blaming the cosplayers for all this.
Well, you know, it could be their fault, but if you're you know, NBC Universal,
they should.
You gotta check that. They have lawyers.
Oh yeah.
Like, no matter how internet famous Yaya Han is, I don't think she has a lawyer to check things for her.
Probably not.
NBC Universal it's got to have nothing but lawyers. There's a whole building full of lawyers who comb over everything.
Oh yeah.
I know that's the way the photography industry works, but if you take a picture of me, I should be able to use that picture however I want.
Yeah.
You could use it.
But yeah, it's
think you could use it for your own personal use. You know, put it up on your site, put it up. But if you want to sell it, you have to get a release.
Yeah, people.
And for a show like this, you have to get the photographer's release.
Yeah, people, I don't think realize that if I take a picture of you, I own the picture, not you.
Right.
And so, that's probably, I can see, you know, people who are cosplayers not knowing that because it's pretty esoteric.
Yeah. So, other than that, I think we're going to have to show up at this point.
Yeah, like we said we were going to do 20 minutes ago.
So, this is definitely on record as one of our longer shows.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
It's like the Todd Glass show. Sometimes they'll go 3.5 hours, and it's great.
Yeah.
Should we just start a new topic? A new show, Staying on Topic with Mike and Eric. Mike tries so hard. I give you credit, Mike. You try so hard.
Mike is trying to steer the conversation. We're like, no, let's just talk about this for 20 minutes.
Let's go back to NSYNC.
Yeah. So these variant covers.
Did we cover them? I don't remember.
We talked about them.
It's been 2 hours.
We could have gone more in depth about that.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
It's been almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, next time we do the show, we're going to be joined by a few other people because we're going to turn it into a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel or roundtable. Yeah.
That's the next time we have Mark on at the end of next month.
Correct.
Yes.
And we're going to do a mini casting call of sorts. For it, you know, see, basically casting characters from S.H.I.E.L.D. that we would want to see in the series.
Yeah.
So.
Love it.
What Marvel characters would you like to see on S.H.I.E.L.D. next month?
Awesome.
So, and hopefully it'll be more than just the three of us. We'll have a good number of people. I know we're going to have Algin Go back with us. And we're trying to set up a few more people. As well, to really just go to town and have fun with it.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm actually doing like 2 or 3 panels that week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like everyone wants to do an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, and it's just going to be, you know, the internet went crazy with Ben Affleck. It's going to go, it might break the night Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premieres.
Oh, yeah.
That's the night that you hear the internet scream.
Yes. Coulson lives, the internet dies.
I'm going to make a prediction, and maybe we'll know by next month when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premieres, that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to replace Game of Thrones as the most pirated show worldwide.
Quite possibly.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine that it won't.
If it doesn't, ABC's got a problem.
Especially with, it's not going to air the same night on Channel 4 in the UK, which has the rights. I haven't heard anything about Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Game of Thrones, I don't think, airs night of in Australia. And, like, even at the time the Prime Minister was talking about the Red Wedding that day.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's, I think everyone in Australia has pirated Game of Thrones.
Sounds like it.
Sounds, I don't want to go like off topic again, but if you have, like, DirecTV or something in Australia, can't you get, like, the American channels?
For an additional fee.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure about that one. I know you can't get Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, they don't have, like, Netflix in Australia.
Like, they just cut the internet off to Netflix?
Yeah, yeah. If you go to Netflix from Australia, it'll be like, you can't watch this in your area. It goes by your IP address.
Wow. That's terrible.
BBC does the same thing. When Doctor Who trailers come up, you can't watch them in America until BBC America puts them up.
Canada's got similar things, too.
Well, Canada sucks. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. I love Canada.
That's from South Park, I think.
I love Canada. I don't know. I do, very much so. If I ever have to avoid the draft, that's where I'm going. So,
yeah, I think we're too old to be drafted, aren't we? Or isn't it 30? I think it's 35, so we still have a couple of years.
I thought it was like 40-something.
Oh,
that's for like doctors. That special skills goes higher.
Gotcha.
I am not a doctor.
I have zero skills.
Yeah. If they want someone to write ad copy,
I just spent 3 hours doing the only skill I have.
Yeah.
If the Army needs a podcaster, I'm in. Other than that, I can't. I'm afraid of guns.
Yeah, me too.
The show will change from Weeby Geeks to Weeby Propaganda.
Yeah.
That's right. Join the cause.
Would you like to know more? So, on that note, I hope you enjoyed our casting couch, casting call, cattle call, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right, cut the chatter.
This ship will self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Prime.
Adventure. Excitement.
Why didn't I take the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. I said hold it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the plight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this plight? Roll them up.
This has been a Baby Geeks production.
Dude, what are you doing?
Getting ready for Soda Pop Talk.
We don't actually talk about soda.
Well, don't waste it. Break out the rum.
It's Soda Pop Talk! Exactly. I don't want them to think I'm ignoring them, so I'm going to answer them. But then it turns around, and I'm like, what are you answering me?
Well, see, that just makes me think of, you know, cunnilingus. Let's break right into that right there.
It's a militant teddy bear, you
Dr. Horrible. And that's the only thing that I like by Joss Whedon.
The only thing?
The only thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to hell for that one.
Maybe.
Oh, too bad it wasn't like with the song Hell Yeah.
I even wash my hands after I pee because I have cock hands after that. I'm going to wash the hand off.
Remember, if it's not rotting something, it's not soda pop talk.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.